This is a conversation with Akira Ikemi. It's taking place on a beautiful sunny day in California. Hi, Akira.
Hi, Serge.
So we're going to be talking about the felt sense.
Yes, the felt sense is very fascinating for me. And I often wonder, does the felt sense and felt meaning mean the same?
Mm. So does the felt sense and felt meaning mean the same? Mm.
And in some of the older articles that Gene Genlin wrote, before the book Focusing came out, the expression that was most often used was felt meaning and not felt sense. Now, are the two different or are they the same? That's something I think about a lot.
Mm. Yeah, so the difference between felt meaning and felt sense, with felt meaning, you know, used before. And so maybe my suggestion is to let's assume for a moment that they're different and see what each one means to you and evokes to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with felt meaning. And I might want to say that we understand each other because there is a felt meaning. There is a felt meaning, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand each other just by explicit words, by looking up the meaning of words in a dictionary, for example.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I can say, or my client can say, my mood started to sink after I talked to Joe. Well, what do you mean by mood sinking?
Right.
Right. Your moods are not a ship, so they don't sink.
Right.
But, so according to the dictionary, this would be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know what this person must be feeling like. So we understand and we communicate from felt meaning. And not from the explicit meaning of the words.
Yeah.
Right. So.
So that the words have, you know, in a way are a gateway to the felt meaning.
Yes. Yes. Or, we can say that there's more to anything than an explicit word can say.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that I feel so good in the beautiful day today,
mm-hmm.
Sonoma, California. But good is not enough to say all that I'm feeling.
Yes, and as I am sitting next to you, mm-hmm. actually, not across the country or across a continent from on a telephone, and I'm also experiencing the warmth, and
yeah.
it's not hot. It's that there's a coolness of the air, there's the sun, the beautiful blue sky. You know, I have that experience
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where good is enough to communicate.
Yes,
because we're sharing that experience.
Yes, because we're sharing the felt meaning. Yeah. Of what I mean by good.
Yeah.
Right. So, for me, felt meaning is always there, and we're always listening to the felt meaning. And, not only to the explicit meaning of words.
Yeah.
Or communication.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that actually even communication would be impossible without the felt meaning.
I think it would be impossible.
Yeah.
It would be, yeah, I think it would be impossible. I was just reflecting on it because, what if you go to a culture that you don't understand the language? There, the explicit words don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
But still you have a felt meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That this person that's talking to me seems to be caring about me.
Yeah.
Or this person that's talking to me, I don't know what he's saying, but I can sense that he's saying, get out of here fast.
Right.
Right. So there is something like that. So, even without the explicit meaning, we have a felt sense, or felt meaning.
A felt meaning.
The situation.
And that felt meaning is related to the human experience that we can share.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The intersubjective experience that we share.
Yeah.
So then I wonder about, well, is that the felt sense?
Okay.
Or are we talking about something different?
So, you know, when you set it up this way, mm-hmm. and you talk about the felt meaning as the ability to communicate with others, mm-hmm. you know, that I see coming is the possibility that maybe you would say the felt sense might be more internal, and the felt meaning is something we can share.
Oh, I see. No, not really.
Okay.
No. Because I don't really want to make an internal-external distinction.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think we have, we often use this metaphor of internal-external.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a danger that it puts us on the wrong track.
So in what way?
Like the felt sense as inside you.
Okay.
Okay. I remember a class I took with Zenlin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which class it was. I can't remember. But he was saying something like, are you inside your body or outside your body? And someone would say, oh, I'm inside my body. Then Jean would say, well, if they cut you up and dissect you, they'll find blood, they find bones, they find organs, but they won't find you. So you can't be inside your body.
Right.
But can you say you're outside your body, but here between us there's only air? You aren't there. So where are you if you're not inside your body and if you're not outside your body?
Mm.
You know? I remember that. So, once we have this internal-external distinction, I think it becomes quite difficult.
Yes.
It's felt as being inside. A felt sense is felt as being inside, but it's always situationally lived. That's a quote from Zenlin.
Yes. So it's related mm-hmm. to the experience.
It's lived in a situation. Yes.
Yes.
I can feel my hunger inside me.
Yes.
But this hunger is always having to do with restaurants that are outside there.
Right.
Or with the people I'm eating lunch with. You know, it's
or
always
absence of food. Or
right. It's always situationally lived.
Mm-hmm.
So it's inside and outside at the same time. It's really hard to make a distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah. The distinction that I might make is reflexivity. When... To have a felt sense, you have to stop and think, stop and refer to yourself,
mm-hmm.
or reflect on yourself and say, what am I feeling?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is it that I'm feeling? I remember in the focusing short form, Jean has let a felt sense form. So what is the forming of the felt sense? Or what do we do there when we let a felt sense form?
Okay.
I think we're reflecting on the situation that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so we're reflecting on the situation and we're paying attention to how our body feels at that very moment of reflection.
Okay, so as you're describing mm-hmm. this, you know, what I'm hearing mm-hmm. is a couple of different things.
Okay.
That, as you said before, mm-hmm. there's not, you know, one person outside of a situation, but there's a person in the situation.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there is a reflexivity mm-hmm. of some kind of a process of apprehending, of getting mm-hmm. a sense of what that situation is, mm-hmm. me and environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the forming of the felt sense.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have it exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So one way we might say it is that we have, although we always have a felt meaning, that felt meaning is always there even before we reflect on it.
Mm-hmm.
A felt sense happens after we start reflecting on our situations.
Okay. So the felt meaning is kind of a general vocabulary.
It's pre-reflexive,
okay.
You might say.
Mm-hmm. And the felt sense is something that reflects that situation.
It's a reflection of a situation, yes. Does that seem, how does that seem to you?
Well, I want to use the example that we used at the very beginning to
okay.
try and apply it,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we were just talking about words,
mm-hmm.
and you said it's good, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And referred to the weather and the surroundings,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sharing it. So in a way, we both had the felt meaning of it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a general shared thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, in order to connect with it, went to some degree of felt sensing to apprehend the situation.
Right.
And so in a way, we went through this process. And the felt meaning was a kind of a handle in a way
mm-hmm.
that is beyond word,
mm-hmm.
but is essentially a handle. How does it feel as a...
The felt meaning was a handle
to
express what I was feeling or
yeah.
to what we were sharing.
Yes, was it, is that kind of a, I mean, I'm just making it up at this point as we're talking.
No... No, I don't think so.
Okay.
The handle in that case was good.
Good, okay.
The weather is good, or it feels good to be here.
Yeah.
So good is a handle that's expressing
yes.
what we are feeling.
Yes.
And a felt meaning to say is, it is a felt meaning is one more level of abstraction.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So...
This is getting very, very... heavy.
Yeah, so, uh-huh. so, but let's stay with that, for instance, okay?
Okay?
So, we both have some degree of felt sensing
mm-hmm.
in terms of getting into the sense of it feels good.
Yeah.
And, we have that handle
mm-hmm.
that feels good,
it feels good
that allows us to, you know, put an element, a way to communicate about it.
Yes.
And in each of us, the feels good means something
yes.
because it's relating to a felt meaning.
Yes, yes.
So from that example, we're trying to find the nuance between the felt sense and the felt meaning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So if I said to you, yes, it feels good, but can you say more about the good that you're feeling now?
Okay.
So in that moment, it starts you reflecting
mm-hmm.
on what you're feeling. And so in that moment, we're letting a felt sense form.
Yes.
So we have a distinction there
mm-hmm.
between felt meaning and felt sense.
So the felt meaning is something that, in a way, is already made...
It's there from before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It pre-exists our reflecting about it. Hmm.
And so, to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Over the long run, the felt meaning could change.
Of course.
For instance, you know, if I live in a city, in a dark, cold, dank city, and I kind of go into the sun and live there, my expectation of what feels good is going to expand. I'm going to enrich that concept of the felt meaning of feeling good
mm-hmm.
over time.
Mm-hmm.
But at any given point in time,
mm-hmm.
the felt meaning mm-hmm. is pretty set. And what changes is moment by moment is the felt sense.
I don't think, I think the felt meaning is always changing.
Okay.
So it's good right now. And if a cloud comes here and it starts to rain or something, immediately we would have a different feeling. So it's always changing and it's always in a flow.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know that your definition of goodness changed because when you do that, you're already reflecting.
Okay.
You're just sensing the feel of being in this place. And that being, sensing of being in this place is always changing. moment by moment. This is sounding to be like really deep philosophy, isn't it? That is, one part of life is always changing.
Yes.
And nothing is the same.
Yes.
And then when we have concepts like good, we want to make things stable and not change. So we want to make a definition of what is good.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But we know, on the other hand, that the sense of good we have, however, always exceeds the definitions, because it's always changing.
So I want to just check there for a minute. Mm-hmm. You see, the sense of good that we have.
Yes.
When you talk about the sense of good, is it the felt meaning of good?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in a way, we go from moment to moment, sensing, and what we sense moment by moment, we relate to a felt meaning, like the sense of good, and that sense of good, because it is conceptual, is something that's beyond any specific situation and is much more than that.
Yes. So we've introduced a third element in here right now, which is the concept.
Yes.
So we have the felt meaning, which is sensed, and then we have a concept of the good. And then we might have a felt sense of the good. And the felt sense is always changing, too.
Yes. So what I'm curious about is, in a way, if we, for a moment, go into sensing into where we are, about the difference between that felt sense, felt meaning, concept, you know, what's happening inside.
What's happening inside? I think I'm thinking of instances. Yes. So what comes to me is certain moments of our interaction where when concepts prevail, then people will start to argue from upstairs. And I am just remembering a meeting that's very tiring.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'm remembering a session that I just did with Dora Lee, and she was listening to me as part of a demonstration. I didn't know where we were going, but it felt good to be listened to. And new felt sense kept coming up. And I didn't know where it was going. There was a felt meaning there, should I say. And as I tried to see how it is in my body, a new word would come out. Like, a new word was new. Newer. But I didn't know how I could be new. I can't be new today. I'm older than yesterday, but I'm not newer. But I felt new. So there's something there that's more than the dictionary meaning of new.
Yeah.
And I feel it in my body.
So I want to just maybe reset that part of what you were saying here is that distinction between a meeting you're remembering and that session.
Yes.
And so earlier we were talking about something about how the felt sense reflects the setting, you know, the person in the setting. And so there's something about that situation of being in that meeting, you know, which felt all upstairs. And in that session, that you had with Doralee, mm-hmm. where even though you were not, you didn't know where you were going, mm-hmm. and, you know, there was that really strong sense of new, mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
way beyond,
mm-hmm.
you know, the word
what I
new.
Know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something there about, you know, that sense of the different setting, that the, you know, how the environment was holding, not holding, something about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it has to do with, environment is a good way of saying, the relationship is another,
mm-hmm.
Reconstituting is another word in Zenlin's theory,
mm-hmm.
or if we were to use Carl Rogers, we would be presence, I think. The presence of the other affects the way we are. So in a meeting where everybody's from upstairs, you don't feel a felt sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In some of those meetings, you know, I'm sure you know, that everybody's speaking from upstairs. And the only thing you might be feeling inside is very tense.
Mm.
So, the presence of the others, or the way the others are, or the relationship, affects the way we have felt sense.
Yeah. And so without that presence, basically there's a tension that's really about all the energy being upstairs and not feeling, not sensing.
Not sensing, right.
And that presence
yes.
is really something that's going to enable us to go into that sensing place.
Absolutely. So I think the way focusing is useful, or the way it aids or helps people, is because we give the felt sense of the other a presence
mm-hmm.
from which the felt sense can come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a way of helping others that doesn't happen usually. Very often I notice that people cannot provide that kind of relationship by themselves. So I think we are providing them or we are helping them make a relationship with themselves. And that is the baseline for them to reflect and have a felt sense of their life.
Yeah, so that the key word is that presence. And that presence allows people
mm-hmm.
to reflect
mm-hmm.
and have that relationship with their life.
Yes, beautiful.
So as we're talking about this, we're talking about the felt sensing. And so I want to just come back, curiosity, to the felt meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
In that meeting that's all upstairs.
Yes.
Where, you know, you feel tense
mm-hmm.
and you don't have that presence and you don't have that connection
mm-hmm.
with yourself. Is that an environment where felt meaning can exist? Or is it like a very narrow, restricted, impoverished felt meaning?
I think it would be very impoverished and very restricted. The only way that we can have a richer felt sense in that situation, a felt meaning in that situation, is that one allows oneself to be more open to what one is feeling. And very often, as you know, people don't allow themselves to be so feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people think at that time, I have to act adequately or appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
I have to behave, you know. I have to be straight, you know. And they don't give themselves the time or allow themselves to be open to felt meaning. So, in that way, the relationship within themselves impoverish the felt meaning.
Yeah. And so how are we now about that difference between felt sense and felt meaning? I mean, certainly what's coming up for me is that we had a difference. We also have a lot of common points, you know, and there seems to be like a lot of, you know, that there seems to be that there's a difference between both, and there's also a lot of common ground and a lot of similarities.
Yes, yes. We could be talking about the same thing, except one is reflected upon,
mm-hmm.
and one is before the reflection.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in a way, the felt sense is going deeper, like holding the felt meaning but not stopping there and going deeper.
Well, again, deep is a metaphor.
Yes.
So we don't know what deep is.
True.
Uh-huh. If we said if it's going higher, it would be a totally different thing.
Right.
So I don't want to use those
maybe
words.
Not an end point. I mean, it's still another metaphor, but less precise.
Mm-hmm.
In a
mm-hmm.
way, kind of knowing, if having a sense of a dot, 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 and a willingness to go further as opposed to considering it an end.
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean. So there is a... What we're getting at here is there is a willingness to reflect on it.
Yeah.
There is a willingness to go deeper or further or higher or whatever into the felt meaning.
Yeah.
So it's this capacity or wanting to reflect further that creates a richer felt sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we just, you know, from feeling good, we went to, you know, that felt meaning, which is certainly an enormous enrichment compared to just the abstract feel good. And then at another level, the felt sensing is not even stopping at that felt meaning of what feels good, but exploring it and taking it as a point of departure instead of an arrival.
Right. Yes. And I think this is kind of important because felt sense and felt meaning are not already formed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we have an already formed structure of felt meaning. And when you reflect on it, you can capture 80% of it, or 100% of it, or something like that. It's as we reflect further on it, it gets richer and richer.
Right.
It grows and grows and grows. So it really feeds on our reflection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's exciting.
Yeah. So what feels exciting is when you say feeds on reflection, it's actually there's adding experience to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
is because there's a whole process of going through it, of sensing, of paying attention to what happens, that is actually just enriching the experience itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And it reminds me of what you were talking about when you talk about your session with Dora Lee and the things about the word new.
Mm-hmm.
But you had the sense of exploring, of coming into it, of something unfolding.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That new was much more than new. And as I reflected on it, there's so much more that comes from there. So we might say that being open to this more, or being willing to explore this more, is one of the key points of focusing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And felt sensing too.
Yeah.
Say.
So being open to this more and being willing to explore it.
Yeah. I think we'll have, I think it would be a kind of a mistake if we thought felt meaning is this already made block. Mm-hmm. And the felt sense is this block.
Okay.
It isn't like that. It isn't made already. And when we're willing to be, to reflect more, willing to go in more, then more and more and more forms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this kind of way of thinking about humans or human experience is very fascinating for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that sense of more, really that, you know, in both cases, the more.
Mm-hmm.
So does this sound like a good place to conclude this?
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Great.
Thanks, Akira.
Okay, thank you.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.